So blessed in April, Todd and I welcomed our littlest one into the world, a perfectly beautiful baby boy named Trig. And children with special needs inspire a very, very special love. To the families of special needs children all across this country, I have a message for you. For years, you've sought to make America a more welcoming place for your sons and daughters. And I pledge to you that if we're elected, you will have a friend and advocate in the White House.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Wesley Smith joins us for the last part of this hour. We're going to talk about Sarah Palin and her decision to keep her baby with Down syndrome. It's got her a lot of attention, probably as much attention as her 17-year-old daughter's pregnancy and the groundbreaking vice presidential pick that she is. Wesley Smith is a regular guest here on the program. You can join us as well as we talk with Wesley, 1-877-623-MYIE, or talkback at issuesetc.org. Wesley Smith is Senior Fellow of the Discovery Institute. He's an attorney for the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide, and he's author of several books, including The Culture of Death, The Assault on Medical Ethics in America. Wesley, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, how are you? You know, I think we should talk about Todd and Sarah Palin's decision. It wasn't just her decision.
Yeah, thank you. That's a very good point to make here. How rare is it, unusual is it, what Governor Palin has decided to do, not run for VP, but to keep her baby with Down syndrome?
Well, what the Palins decided to do is, unfortunately, increasingly rare. It appears, based on statistics that have been reported in major journals, that 90% approximately of fetuses who test positive for Down syndrome, which is what Trig has, his condition, are never allowed to be born. That is, 90% of such babies are destroyed in what I call eugenic abortion. And even worse, there have been studies showing that when a parent receives this news during the pregnancy from genetic testing, there seems to be, at least in some of the cases, a push of these parents when they get counseling, you know, genetic counseling, in a certain direction, that is the decision to terminate the pregnancy. And a lot of the parents, in fact, I think off the top of my head, it was about a 25% of parents who answered these surveys, said that the counselors focused almost exclusively on the negatives, you know, the difficulties that a child born with Down might have, or something like a condition like cystic fibrosis or dwarfism. These are all kinds of issues that fetuses are being aborted over. Without talking about the joys of raising such children, the quality of life that these children can enjoy, and so forth. In fact, it really struck me quite hard once. I was giving a speech, and it was to a Christian Medical Association of medical students, and I gave a speech on the importance of the equal moral worth of all human life and talking against the Peter Singer view of personhood theory, that is, being human is not what gives moral worth, but rather having specific attributes, which he calls the quality of life ethic. You have to have sufficient cognitive capacities. We've talked about that on your show before. And I made, I think, and I hope, a clarion argument that, at least certainly in medicine, healthcare workers, doctors, nurses, social workers, chaplains, and everyone who works in the healthcare field have to look at each and every patient as an equal moral, as having equal moral worth, and so that each and every patient is entitled to optimal care. And one young man came up to me after the speech, and he said, "Listen, you know, I'm a genetic counselor. What am I supposed to do when a woman presents with Down syndrome?" And I was a little shocked that he would ask that question and that I would have to answer him. And I said, "Well, for example, why don't you bring into the counseling parents who have gone through that experience and who have found it to be something worth doing and rewarding and fulfilling? Or people who would say, listen, we accept children unconditionally based on what we receive, whether it's from God or if they have that belief system or otherwise, as the Palins did. You know, the Palins got their genetic testing not as a way of deciding if something's wrong, will we abort or not abort, but if something was wrong so they could prepare themselves for the tasks of parenting that would come with that process. And that's exactly what they have done. And frankly, I think nothing in my experience working on sanctity and equality of life issues has encouraged me so much in terms of the ability to have people embrace developmentally disabled children and special needs children as much as this beautiful family saying, we love Trigg, we look in his eyes and we see perfection. That is how you change a culture of death into a culture of life.
Real quickly, before we go on to the other subjects we wanted to talk with you about, you used the term eugenic abortion. Can you just, with about 30 seconds, flesh that out for me? I've heard it before.
Well, I think I might have coined it. But eugenics had to do with culling the human herd between the so-called fit and the unfit. And back in the from the 1908, say, through the early 60s, more than 60,000 Americans were involuntarily sterilized because they were deemed to be genetically defective, whether based on alcoholism or based on some other issues, and that was called eugenics. And it strikes me that when a healthy child is being aborted because he or she will be developmentally disabled, has Down syndrome, has dwarfism, that is a new form of eugenics that is being promoted by many in the medical intelligentsia and establishment to improve the human genetic gene pool, if you will. And if that isn't eugenics, I don't know what is. I call that the new eugenics.
I'm looking at a headline from the Washington Post late last week. Researchers convert adult stem cells from one type to another. What is this story about, and what does it mean for stem cell research?
Well, what's really remarkable is, and you and I have had many discussions about this, that we used to hear that the only hope, right, for regenerative medicine, that is medical treatments using these kinds of stem cells, were embryonic stem cells or human cloning. Well, now we find out that what's happening is tremendous advances are being made in the ethical alternatives, as they have been sometimes called, because they do not involve destroying embryos. One of those alternatives, and the reason I think it's really not an issue in the campaign today, is the induced pluripotent stem cells, in which scientists have been able to introduce genes into things like skin cells and even wisdom teeth cells, and transform them into embryonic-like stem cells that have the properties of embryonic stem cells, for example, to be used in scientific studies without destroying embryos so that they're perfectly ethical. And that is sometimes called cell reprogramming. What the experiment you just mentioned is in animals only so far, and it's called direct cell reprogramming because what they did was they introduced some substances into the bodies of living mice, which transformed one type of cell into another that would be useful in treating diabetes without having to go to taking the like skin cell, turning it into a stem cell, turning the stem cell back into a different type of cell and introducing it into the body. This all happened within the bodies of the mice. And if that can be developed so that if somebody needs to have a increase in stem cells, say, to battle cancer or to battle diabetes or to battle to try to help fight some kind of a neurological disease or heart disease, if you could do that by giving, you know, a stimulation of normal body substances that would increase those, create those stem cells within the living body, man, that would just make it so much easier and cheaper, and there would be no question of cell rejection because it would be your own cells that had never left your body. I mean, if this can be developed further beyond the animal stage where it is now, it would be a remarkable achievement. And again, we are finding the best and most exciting achievements and ones that would actually be the easiest in terms of finances to perform are the non-controversial kind, non-embryonic stem cell research, research that does not involve human cloning. And so this is very exciting. I think it's a complete validation for President Bush's embryonic stem cell funding policy, which focused or at least forced or at least induced, I think that's a better term, scientists to look at non-embryonic methods of going forward, and what they've been finding has been tremendous.
Wesley Smith is a senior fellow for the Discovery Institute and attorney for the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide. He's author of several books, including The Culture of Death, The Assault on Medical Ethics in America. Stay informed on issues bioethical. Check out the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. And under that on-demand page, you'll find a direct link to Wesley Smith's blog. Wesley, thanks for being our guest.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Folks, have you been hungering for a richer life of prayer and meditation on God's Word? That is, after all, what Christian meditation is. It is the study of God's Word, Holy Scripture. Well, Concordia Publishing House has a great new devotional book coming out in October. I'm anxious to read it myself, to see it and start using it. It's called Treasury of Daily Prayer. You really need to take a look at this devotional resource. Click the cover of Treasury of Daily Prayer at our homepage, issuesetc.org. You'll see a little image of the book. Click it, issuesetc.org. Or call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Treasury of Daily Prayer. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.